We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everybody, to the final week of our Who Is This series. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church, and I am blessed. I am loved by God. I am loved by my family. I'm loved by friends. I'm just a blessed dude. I'm happy to be here, and I hope you feel the same. We're happy to have fellowship with you today. Whether it's here in this building, whether it's in our homes at Connect Group, whether it's on the internet. Some of you are, you've never been in Plano, Texas or Irving, Texas, but we're having fellowship with you on the internet. We're happy to do so. God bless all of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is famous. Can I get an amen on that? Jesus is famous. All of history points to Jesus. Once you meet him, it's impossible to forget him. The world met him and they've not ever forgotten him. Once you have heard his story, you will never forget it. When you see a miracle from the hands of Jesus, you tell that story. That story sticks with you because you can't forget this Jesus. It stays with you forever. Jesus is famous, yet Jesus is famously mistaken. We've talked about this entire sermon series. Although he is the most known person in human history, he is often not recognized, and he is often misrepresented. Quick rundown. Week one, we talked about Mary Magdalene. She confused Jesus with a gardener. She has the resurrection and the life right there in front of her, but she doesn't recognize him. That was week one. Week two, the disciples saw Jesus work a miracle that terrified them. You know, usually we think about seeing the handiwork of God and we're like, oh man, we're just going to sing a worship song right here. No, they saw the handiwork of God and they were freaked out. They were terrified, the Bible says. He spoke to the winds and waves, and the winds and waves stopped, and they were left asking, who is this? That even the winds and waves obey him. And in week three, we talked about Saul the Pharisee. He thought he was serving God, but when he met him one day in the desert, things were a little different than he thought. You see, God knocked him to the ground. You see, I guess he thought God was going to say, good job, Saul. Instead, God just goes, just gives him a good old beating down to the ground, and blind is Saul the Pharisee. So what does Saul do here? He asks, who are you, God? See, he thought he knew God, but he ends up meeting God and going, I don't know you at all. Who are you? And the voice that came back said, I am Jesus. See, Saul had been looking right past God. He'd been looking right past Jesus. And we're guilty of that too, aren't we? Week four, Jesus shows up unexpectedly over and over and over again in the Bible. You'd think we'd learn to expect him. But no, a king born in a manger, a king hung on a cross. One day he's going to return unexpectedly and we're all going to be shocked and surprised by it. He comes like a thief in the night. We must be ready for his return. And guess what? We should be ready for him to show up today. He's going to show up today, and he's going to show up in an unexpected way. So just, you get ready for that. Jesus is surprising. Week five, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, and a church service breaks out. Everyone just starts worshiping God. No, that's not what happened. Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath, and an argument breaks out. How's that for religion? Jesus shows up, and now we're all going to argue about it. There's a healed man. He'd been paralyzed for like 38 years. Let's argue that Jesus didn't heal him the correct way. Jesus is then accused of being a rule breaker. You see, Jesus breaks our rules. He doesn't break God's rules. He doesn't break God's commandments, but he breaks the laws of religion. He breaks your expectation. He breaks the laws of this world and the laws of this culture. And whatever you think God is capable of doing, he's going to break that because he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. This week, I want to ask you, who is this Jesus? Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? We will take our text from last month's memory verse, Matthew 16. Here's the first two verses of it. Who do people say the Son of Man? This is verse 13. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Verse 14. They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Have you ever wondered what people are saying about you? You know, there's people talking about you right now. Sometimes, what is it, if your ears burn or something, that means someone's talking about you, or one of those wives' tales. Have you ever had a suspicion? Those people are talking about me over there. You see these people talking, maybe one of them looked at you and then looked away, and you said, they're talking about me. Have you ever done that? Lacey? Yeah? Maybe? Yeah? Yeah. Let's all stare and look at Lacey. We've all been talking about you, Lacey. All of us. All right. Well, Jesus comes right out and he asks, what are people saying? What are they saying? Who do they say I am? And the answers are all over the map. The answers are crazy. Many thought Jesus was the reincarnation of John the Baptist or one of the other prophets. We're talking about good Jewish people. You should know this. Jewish people do not believe in reincarnation. Yet one of the things they're talking about is he's the reincarnation of Jeremiah. He's Jeremiah come back in human form. That's kind of crazy. That's even outside of their own belief system. That's wild. Can I tell you that you can't always trust what people say? In fact, you can't always trust what people say about Jesus. Just like there were those who said Jesus was the prophet Jeremiah, there are those that say Jesus is an angel. There are those that say Jesus is a good man and a good teacher, but nothing more. And there are those who go so far to say he's a prophet, but nothing more than that. There are those that try to go for the political angle. And so they start trying to use Jesus for political power. They will tell you that Jesus is a liberal. They'll try to tell you Jesus, no, he's a conservative. He's Democrat, he's Republican. Jesus is for the 99%. No, Jesus is for the 1%. Jesus would be pro-immigration rights. That's what he would be. No, Jesus would be for anti-gun laws. It's just like all over the map, people trying to use Jesus for political gain. Let me tell you, you cannot trust what people say about Jesus. Of course, I'm here today to talk about Jesus. People always seem to have an opinion on Jesus. And you should listen. Whenever someone's talking about Jesus, when everyone's talking about the Christ, you should listen. There's a place in the Bible where the disciples ran up to Jesus and they said, hey, these people over there are preaching another Christ that's not you. They're preaching Christ. And what does Jesus say? Here's what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, well, we need to put a stop to that right now. Well, let's pick up that whip I used to go over the money changers in the temple with. Let's go get them. No, he doesn't say that. He says you should be thankful, you should rejoice anytime Christ is preached. Christianity's always running around trying to correct everyone's preaching of Jesus. Well, you're preaching Jesus, but you're not preaching him right. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rejoice every time someone preaches Jesus. That means there's some people in this city right now, they're preaching Jesus and it's not quite correct. But guess what? We're thankful every time Christ is preached. Are you thankful every time Christ is brought up, that he's mentioned? I'm so thankful every time he is mentioned and thought of. Yeah. So you should listen, but you should be careful, because you can't just trust everyone, what everyone says about Jesus. Jesus goes on to ask this question in Matthew 16, verse 15. He had just asked, who do people say I am? Now he asks, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Jesus had more had a more important question than who do others people say I am? This one here is a much more important question. Who do you say I am? Can I tell you that Jesus is still asking that question? If you will let him, Jesus will approach you today and he will ask you, who do you say I am? So Redemption Church, we want to ask you, who do you say Jesus is? I want everybody to take out their phones. Take out their phones. Actually, I need my phone up here, if you could bring that to me. Take out your phones. Everyone, take out your phones. Out your phones. I know that's like a rule in church. Right? You can silence your phone, please, but please, take out your phones. Wave it at me. Wave it at me so I can see that y'all are... He doesn't have a, if you don't have a phone, we won't kick you out of church. No problem, Dwight. All right, but you take your phone out. I would love for you to text me, all right? Please text me in church. I'm going to invite you to take out your phones and actually use it in church. I will not get mad at you. Take out your phones and text our anonymous line at 214-856-0550. We want you to share who Jesus is to you. We want you to text that in. Do it right now. Text in, who is Jesus to you? We believe it's important to know who he is. We believe that it's important to share who he is with others. So we're going to take some practice right now. You practice telling us who he is. What we have right in front of us is an anonymous number. No one's going to know who said this. We're not going to be speaking that out on who wrote what in. I want you to listen to what someone has to say about Jesus. Check this out.
My name is Cheryl, and what Jesus is to me, who Jesus is to me, is completely pure trust. I had a two-week-old baby who the doctors had advised us to terminate because he was so sick with RSV virus, which was not popular 30 years ago, but we made the decision to trust God, even though we didn't know him well yet, and today you see Scott Fain, and he is just fine. And so from that moment forward, God earned my trust in all areas, my finances, my job, where I live. And we've got some pretty wild stories about all of those things, but he's never left me high and dry. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.
My name is Scott, and I've been going to Redemption Church for 7 years. Things haven't always been so good for me. When people come to me and they confess that they have addictions, I certainly understand not being able to stop. In junior high, I compression fractured my spine in a weightlifting accident, and I was given pain meds, and pain meds pretty soon led to addiction. My prescription ran out as I was abusing the medication, and I was looking for something else to kill the pain. I began to experiment with large quantities of over-the-counter medicines, not to make my back pain go away anymore, but for emotional pain. It got to the point where I wanted to stop, but it was like I couldn't. I wasn't addicted to getting high or anything like that, but I was addicted to making my emotions dead-end. As I got older, my responsibilities increased, and I couldn't be tired all the time. I had to figure something out, and I began abusing diet pills or uppers, and it was helping me to get awake, but really, it was just another medicine to control me. No matter how fast I moved, and no matter how hard I tried, I needed pills to get through the day, and pills to help me to get up, pills to help me to go to sleep. I was animated, although I was dead on the inside. At Redemption Church, I found a different view of God than I'd ever seen before. This was a God that loved me. This was a God that got up inside me and changed things for me. This was a God that gave me a new drive. I wasn't being controlled by medicine or medications anymore, but I was walking out the steps that the Lord had planned for me. Today I'm healed, I'm happy, I'm married, I'm a father, and I get to be a youth pastor that helps out kids with the same kind of problems that I had as a child. Today, I want you to know that if you feel dead on the inside, you can be made fully alive in Jesus Christ, just like me.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Upchurch. Me and my wife, Anda, we just celebrated 1 year of marriage. and we've had some good times, and we've had some learning times. And through that, I have discovered that Jesus has been with me, been with us throughout the entire step of the way. He's taught us grace. He's taught us forgiveness. He taught us to turn to Him during times of strife or grief or anger, frustration. But even to turn to Him during joy and happiness, peace. Who is this Jesus? He is the foundation of our marriage.
Thank you, Jonathan Upchurch, for that testimony. Can I tell you that Jesus works in real life situations? Relationships are hard. Relationships have ups and downs, especially that first year of marriage. And you, Upchurches, going after God, seeking Jesus, you found the answer to all of life's unanswerable questions. He's that, however Scott said that, He's the answer to the unanswerable question. That's Jesus. He works in real life situations. He doesn't just work in Bible stories. He works in your life. He can work in your marriage. He can work in your home. He can work in your finances. He can work in your health. Try Jesus. He works. He works. Here's someone else who tried Jesus.
Hey, everybody. This is Sarah. I just wanted to give a testimony video real quick. My neck has been hurting so bad for the last 5 days since Saturday. I have no idea what I did. But last night at Connect Group, I asked if people could pray for me. And my Connect Group prayed for me right there. I immediately felt better. And this morning I woke up, I'm in no pain, and I feel so good. So I just wanted to give a shout out and say prayer works and God's awesome. Go Connect Group.
Shout out to Connect Group. Yeah, let's hear for Connect Group. Yeah. You need a Jesus story. You got to have one. You want to love Jesus and follow Jesus, be with Jesus in heaven. You want all that? You need a Jesus story. You got to have it. So what is your favorite Jesus story? Why don't you text us, 214-856-0550. Tell us what your favorite Jesus story is. Come on, bring them in. I have three Jesus stories from the Bible, and they keep me going. I always come back to these three stories. I mean, they're all good stories. The worst Jesus story beats any day at work, like fishing or whatever that saying goes. Like, I mean, there's not a bad Jesus story, but there are three stories that Chris Fluitt always comes back to. They meet me wherever I'm at. They impact me strongly. I'm going to share them with you. Number one, Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus, however you want to say that. Zacchaeus, in the little man in the tree, how Jesus knew his name. He walks right up to that tree in the middle of a crowd, and he looks right up at Zacchaeus, and he calls him out by name. The fact that he saw him in the middle of that huge crowd, it lets me know that Jesus knows my name and that he sees me. I grew up in a church just with people everywhere, and I thought, oh, Jesus is here for these people. I didn't understand that he was there for me, and this story showed me that. Second, the demoniac. The demoniac named Legion. This man was so messed up. No one knew what to do with this man. That's how messed up he was. Let's chain him up, they said. Okay, well, he breaks the chains. Let's try to put him off over here. No, he'd run around. He's crazy. You couldn't do anything with this guy. He was so messed up. He had over 1,000 demons that controlled him and were destroying him. Over 1,000, but along comes Jesus. Here's my Jesus story right here. Along comes Jesus. I think that part, that's a part of every Jesus story right there. Along comes Jesus. And the next thing you know, here's how that story ends. The demoniac is found sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning. And the Bible describes him this way. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. No one else knew what to do with this guy. Jesus knew what to do with this guy. If you think that you are just messed up and there's nothing you can do, if you look at your life and say, there's nothing I can do, this is just an unfixable situation, I want to introduce you to these words: along came Jesus. He changes everything. And then the third story, I always come back to this, the story of doubting Thomas. Jesus is resurrected. It's a big deal, right? He's resurrected. Everyone's happy about it. No, not yet. Because he shows up to the disciples, but there's a guy not there, one of the disciples named Thomas. And Thomas says, I'm not going to believe that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead unless I see two things. One was what? The nail prints in his hands. I want to see and touch the nail prints in his hand. And the other one is, I want to see and touch the place where he was stabbed with the spear. Unless I see those things, I don't want to hear your garbage about Jesus being raised from the dead. Right? Paraphrase. But guess what? Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up and he comes asking for who? Thomas. So how would Jesus show up? Do you think he would show up and say, where is Thomas? I've got some stern words for Thomas. You could see God doing that, right? He's showing up. How dare you not believe in me, Thomas? No, that's not what he says at all, is it? He appears to Thomas and he says, Thomas, look. He comes to a guy that doesn't believe in him, that's doubting him, that's not ready to follow him or have faith in him. And he says, what is it that you need to believe? Here it is. See, Jesus isn't offended, nor is he afraid or running scared of your doubt. And there's been so many times I've doubted God in my life, but along came Jesus. And he shows up and says, look, what is it that you need? I want you to go all the way with me. I want to take you all the way to heaven with me. And guess what? Now, Thomas really figures something out. Of course, he figures out Jesus is alive, but he has a bigger revelation than that. See, God always has a bigger revelation than what you're asking for. You think, God, I just need an answer to this, or I need to see this, and God has a bigger revelation than that. Because Thomas was just asking to find out if Jesus was alive. But at the end of the story, Thomas says some shocking words that are a huge revelation. He says, my Lord and my God. Not only does he know Jesus is alive, but now for the first time, he sees that Jesus Christ is his Lord and his God. That's a revelation he never had before. You need to know the Jesus of the Bible. You need to have one of these Jesus stories. You need to hold on to that Jesus story. And you don't need to let anyone or anything take that story from you. Amen? Amen. You have a story like that. We want to hear about it. You need to look in the book and fall in love with Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. You need to understand that what he did for others, he will also do for you. Can I tell you that it's not enough to go to church? I'm really glad you're here, but this is not enough. You need to know Jesus. If you're here today, we're so glad you're here today. If you're watching this online, let me tell you, it's not enough that you're listening to this sermon. You have to know Jesus. You got to know him. It's not enough to be able to quote some scriptures. That's a good thing. That's an important thing. But you need to be able to answer Jesus' question. And his question is, who do you say I am? Your eternity hangs on that question. You have to know who he is. You have to be able to say who he is and confess that with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to notice that Jesus' choice of words here. What do you say? Who do you say I am? He doesn't say, who do you think I am? I want you to notice that. Jesus does not say, who do you think I am? The Greek word for say is lego, like lego my ego, or there you go. Lego, And it means to affirm, to command or direct, to point out with words. That is the word for say. Look at somebody and say Lego. Whatever you know to be true about Jesus, you need to say it. It's not enough just to know it, Redemption Church. It's not enough for us to just sit in this church today and go, isn't that good information? I'm so glad I know that. It is not enough. You need to say it. You need to Lego. You need to affirm. You need to direct. You need to confirm it in others, to command it, to point it out with words. If you think that Jesus is a good man, you need to say it. There's more truth than that, but wherever, whatever you think of Jesus, I dare you to say it. Because you, when you start affirming it, you'll just be surprised about what else he shows you. If you think that he is God that's come to save, you need to say it. When was the last time you said it? You say it by text message, but it doesn't need to stop at that. You need to say it to other people. You need to say it some face-to-face encounters. You need to say it. You need to let go. Are you saying it? Are you saying it? Let's look at some of the things we're saying. Here's a few more testimonies. Jesus is God, and he is good, and he is true. And even when I think he isn't, even when I am falling apart, he doesn't change. Good. Praise God for that. Amen. Somebody told us that they love the story of his birth. They love the story when Moses, by the power of God, frees the Jewish people. One of my favorites, it's like they have more than one favorite, good for them, that's great, is the one of Jesus with the non-Jewish woman at the well. He doesn't turn away from her, even though her tradition doesn't stack up with what the scripture says. The story I always remember is the one where they lowered the man through the roof and Jesus healed him. And then also the woman at the well where Jesus tells her everything she knows, everything about her life. Someone says that Jesus is our supply. Jesus didn't condemn the woman caught in adultery. It is easier to bring him my mistakes when I know he will receive me. Can we get a witness in the house? Isn't it great that you can bring your mistakes to Jesus and he doesn't condemn you? He sets you free and says, sin no more. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33. I'm always moved by the story of the sinful woman who kisses the feet of Jesus and is blessed and forgiven. She wanted access to Jesus. She comes in and she does this wonderful act of worship to Jesus. And people are like, how dare you let this woman have access to you? That's that story. Let me tell you, you have access to Jesus. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter what your sin problems are. It doesn't matter how you are messed up in the head. All those things, none of those matter. You have access to Jesus. Jesus on a boat asleep, he woke up and he calmed the storm. He will do that for me as well. Praise God for all of that. Let's see, we've got one more here. We've got a few more Facebooks. Let's get those going. Jesus is my everything. He's the ultimate example of who and what I'm supposed to be and a reason to live and love. That's awesome. You keep living out that love because of Jesus. He is water in a thirsty desert. I love him. He's a strong, bold lion of love. He's my refuge. He's what keeps me going. He is my all in all. They keep going. They keep coming. I hope they never stop what we think about Jesus. Can you clap your hands for this Jesus? He's touching all these lives. He's putting lives back together. He's showing up, and he's going to show up today. We're going to get ready to do the three things, but we've got someone else that wants to share a Jesus story with us. Let's check it out.
Hello, my name is Anda Upchurch, and this is my husband, Jonathan. and I am about to get baptized, which is a really big deal because until about 6 months ago, I was an atheist. So I started going to Connect Group about a year ago. Jonathan had already been going, and I came home from work one day and told him that I was just going to go with him, even though I didn't yet believe, but I really liked the people that I met there. Eventually, I realized that Connect Group had stopped being just about the people that were there, and I realized that I had actually been led there by the Lord. These days, I really find myself identifying with Paul. He thought that he was living his life the right way, but then found out he was missing out on Jesus. One verse that really shows how I feel right now is Acts 9:18. It says, "And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized." The scales are off my eyes, and I am ready to join Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection through baptism.
Is the giver of sight. He gives sight to the blind. He gives sight to those that physically can't see. He gives sight to those who emotionally can't see. He gives sight to those who spiritually can't see. Whatever your blindness is, he gives sight to it. Whatever area of your life you are blind to him, he's going to show up. He's going to show forth. You don't have to just take Anda's words for it. Her words are so wonderful. Her words are so powerful. How she was an atheist 6 months ago, but God has removed the blinders from her eyes. Jesus can give you sight today. You don't just have to take her word for it. Jesus can give you sight today. Some of you in this place, you have an area of your life. You're just, I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen there. And you're just blind to what's going to take place in the future of my life. Jesus will give you sight to it. He will give you a fresh vision. He will give you hope. He will give you peace in it. He will do that for you. Some of you are like, I don't know what to do with this relationship over here. It looks hopeless. It looks like I don't know what to do. There's this tarp over this thing. I don't even know what to call this anymore. Jesus Christ wants to bring sight to that. He wants to bring vision to that. Redemption Church. Whatever you think of this body of Christ in the future, sometimes it's foggy. Where are we going? Where are we going as a church? Jesus Christ wants to reveal it. He wants to show it to you. Whatever your blind area is, he wants to bring sight to the blind. Your scales can come off today. Matthew 16:15. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Can I tell you that we need a revelation? We need Jesus to be revealed to us. It's not about having the right answer to the question. "Oh, I know that answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Yay, is that the right answer? It's not about having the right answer. It's not about saying the right words. It's not about a repeat after me prayer. It's not about those things. It's about having a revelation that comes from the Father. And it's not about knowing all the theological viewpoints and which one's right and which one's wrong and missing all the potholes. And at the end of the day, when Jesus comes back, you say, "Hey, I got all my theology right." Not about it. No one in this place has correct theology all the way because none of us know everything there is to know about the Lord. We all have blind areas in our life. He's still revealing to us. No, it's about Jesus taking the scales off our eyes. That's what it's about. Redemption Church, it's not about coming to sing a few worship songs. It's not about coming to hear a sermon and then saying, okay, I went to church this week, I'm a good person. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ showing up, and you see him and you know who he is. You realize who he is. And when you see him, you see your hope. When you see him, you see your future. When you see him, you see your healing. When you see him, you see your fixed marriage. When you see him, you see that you're able to forgive those people. When you see him, whatever you see him, you see everything that you need. That's what it's about. Jesus Christ is in this house today. He's ready to show up for you, and he's ready to show you everything you need. Amen. The Jesus we read about in Scripture can leap from the page, and he can step into your reality. You see, if it were just about a few stories in the Bible, we could just sit around and read those stories, and then we're all good. But no, that Jesus, he's more than just a story. He's more than just someone else's story. He leaps off the page. And that's what he did for Anda Upchurch. You heard her testimony just a little bit ago. He jumps off the page. She's reading about Saul and how he's blind. But as she's reading about him, that same Jesus that shows up and healed Saul, that gave him sight, gives her sight. That happened. That's what happened in Sarah's testimony. She's reading and she knows all this truth about Jesus showing up and healing people. Oh, but he leaps off the page one day and she just says a simple prayer and God heals her. Other people prayed for her at a connect group and she's healed. That's a Jesus that leaps off the page. He leaped off the page for Cheryl. He leaped off the page for Scott. All of you that texted in your favorite story, he leaps off the page. He is not confined to anything. He's not confined to the printed paper. He will show up in your life. Do you want him to show up? Amen. Do you want him to show up? Yes. Invite the Jesus of the Bible to show up in your life. We're about to open these altars. Before we do, why don't you just bow your heads, close your eyes in this place. Why don't you invite the Jesus of the Bible to show up in your life all over this place? You watching on the internet, you do it. We'll take the time for you to do it. You invite him right now. You speak to him. He's in this place. I want you to look back up at me. Jesus has more to offer you than a secondhand story. See, I don't have a firsthand account of him with the woman at the well. I don't have a firsthand account of Jesus on the cross and there's the other thief on the cross. I don't have a firsthand account of that. I have a secondhand account of that. Right? But Jesus Christ has more for me than a secondhand account. He has more for you today than just a story about Jesus. You can have a firsthand encounter with Jesus. Saul of Tarsus, he doesn't have a firsthand account of the woman at the well either. He doesn't have a firsthand account of Jesus on the cross. But he has a firsthand account of Jesus in that desert. He has a firsthand account of Jesus throughout the New Testament where Jesus shows up and talks to him and directs him. You see, you don't have to live by a secondhand account. If you've just been coming to church and hearing the story and wondering what's wrong with Christianity, why isn't this working? It's because you're trying to live by a secondhand account. And as good as that story is, as good as that secondhand account is, there is more, and God wants to have that for you. He wants you to have a firsthand encounter with Jesus. Do you want that firsthand encounter with Jesus today? You can have that firsthand encounter. These altars are open right now for you to have a firsthand encounter. Why don't you come? If you want a special first-hand encounter and you want us to pray with you, why don't you come in the first 2 feet? If you don't know what to do next, why don't you come in the first 2 feet? We'll talk about it. We'll talk to you about repentance. We'll talk to you about Jesus. We'll share those stories. You can testify to me about Jesus. I'll testify to you about Jesus. But why don't you come into this place? Whatever it is you need, we have a very alive Jesus in this house. He is waiting to be encountered. Why don't you reach out?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.